is the Phantom. From the World Wide Web, welcome to Phantom Radio. Presented by the Cable Company. Well, Phantom fans, this week's guest has been a friend of mine for over four decades. He's a very unique guy because of the variety of areas that he is an expert in. For example, as a bowler, he was a Greater L.A. Junior All-Star from 1978 to 1980. He was a competitive PBA member for about 16 years. He was a pro shop operator from 96 to 2000. He ran the ABC USBC Storm Booth at the National Stadium in 95. And he was the director of pro shop operations at Coast Properties 2000 to 2003. And he worked for Brunswick as a West Coast product specialist between 2003 and 2008. And now he works for Steve Cook's Bowling Supply as account sales manager. He also finds time to be 900 Global Tour rep, and he has co-written, published two books. One is called The Head Game Sports Mental Game Book and the R-Evolve Drilling Technical Manual. He's also involved currently with Instructional Foundation New Fission Bowling. So here's a very busy Rick Hamlin. Hello, Rick, and welcome to the show.
Good day, Phantom. How are you? I'm thankful that you're having me on your show again. It was a pleasure the first time, and I'm sure this time will be no different.
You know, that was a few years ago. I'm glad you got a good memory that you were on the show. But, you know, since then, I've heard a couple of things. One, you've acquired a new nickname of Rico. What the heck's that all about?
Well, right around, not too much longer after I was on your show, when I started working for Brunswick, there was a layout that Bill Wasserberger, Ray Edwards, and Billy Orlikowski used quite a bit while I was at Brunswick, you know, in the earlier years in the 90s while they were out on tour. And I got accustomed with it and really liked using it. And at one of the tournaments, one of the young competitors really bowled well with it and decided he was going to put a nickname on it and basically added an O to my name and came up with Rico.
Okay,
and it stuck.
Okay, well, I might use that from time to time, but I might get confused, but I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us on Phantom Radio, and I got a lot of questions for you, so are you ready for this?
Yes, sir. Let's get with it.
All right, Barge. To start with, when I would interview the Webbers, you know, like John Weber, Pete Weber, Rich Weber, I would always say that these guys cut their teeth on a bowling ball, but you may have them beat, as I heard that you started earlier than that, as your mom actually went into labor watching your father bowl and ling. Now, that is special. So, if you would, tell us what your mom told you about that whole labor ordeal back then, okay?
Sure. It's always a fun one. Basically, my mom was watching my father bowl league one night, went into labor. Fortunately, my father, instead of bowling out, he decided that it would probably be good and packed up, and we went to the hospital. The funny part about that is I was born on her birthday.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was one hell of a birthday present. Also, coincidentally, the hospital my sister and I were born in was Brooks Army Medical Center at Fort Sam Houston, which has now been since made into a historical landmark. I don't think it has anything to do with my sister and I, but it's still kind of an interesting little factoid.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I read off your resume, and I know you're only about 50, but you got about 80 years of experience. I counted them all up, so we may not get everything in that I want to on this show because we have limited time, but one good thing about this show is I can have you on more than once again, and I'm sure I will, but I want to get our listeners to know you a little bit better. So what was your actual first recollection of being involved in bowling as a little kid?
You know, it's funny when you first mentioned that question to me, I actually had to kind of start thinking about that one. And for whatever reason, the very first memory I have, my dad was in the military for about 20 years, 20 plus years. He was a World War II and Korean vet, flew primarily in B-17s. When he retired, he got into his next love, which happened to be bowling, and he ran bowling centers for the military. So my first recollection was in a six-lane center that my dad was running, and I think I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I remember, you know, having to go up the stairs to get to the bowling lanes. I remember my first bowling ball. It was a Brunswick Black Beauty with the Little Man Bowling on it,
yeah.
The infamous Little Man Bowling. You know, I after that, I can tell you, you know, up until my father passed away, I remember spending a lot of time with him in the bowling centers,
yeah,
hanging out with him.
Those are great memories, you know. You know, that ball, that little black beauty with the little man on it, you know, we used to test all kind of bowling balls before the durometer. And we found a bunch of those that were like 78 hardness. So those balls were at a premium back in the day.
So let me ask you, just out of curiosity, back then, was that considered hard or was that considered soft? That would have been considered soft?
Yeah, it was soft because, you know, back in the late 60s and early 70s, they were basically hard rubber balls, five-star Dick Weber, three-daughter, and plastic balls.
Yep.
They were all 88 to 90, and these balls were 78 on the hardness scale. And I'll tell you what, they hooked a little bit. They were nice balls, but they stopped making them, so then they went on to the next phase, which we all know that was a lot of chaos, and that would be about... That would be about 10 more shows to talk about all that. But
it's funny you bring up the hardness. I remember there was a guy from San Diego that I used to bowl against named Jerry Kale. And he was one of the first guys that I ever saw using the Ace bowling ball.
Yeah.
Those were made in Switzerland or Sweden or?
Yeah, I think Sweden, yeah.
Sweden. And they were like 100 on the durometer, and he loved them because he could go really, really straight with them. So it's funny, like you said, it's funny the evolution of them, that they went from being rock hard to being quite oil absorbent at this point.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mentioned in the opening that you were a Greater L.A. Junior All-Star back in 78 through 80. Do you remember who some of your junior rivals were back then?
You know, it's funny. It's kind of like when we were out on tour bowling and whatnot. I wouldn't say that we had rivals. You know, there was a lot of people that we bowled against, a lot of great competition. The main rivalries we had were when we had a thing called the Pac Coast Holiday Tournaments, and they were always bowled on holidays. And Northern California and Southern California always got together, and it was really a lot of fun, you know, kind of like the Dodgers and the Giants type similar thing going at it at the tournaments. You know, I mean, the great thing about my career was growing up in Southern California in the Greater LA Junior All-Stars, the Junior Amateur Tour, which happens to be still going on today. You know, Greater LA Junior All-Stars was the highest traveling junior league in the nation for many, many years. They also had an adult version, which I don't remember the years. I think it was in the mid-60s until the mid to late 70s. Barry Asher, Glenn Allison, Andy Marzich, a lot of the greats happened to compete in that. The first year I was in All-Stars, I bowled with Steve Doherty and Rick Colson. We were actually sponsored by the Brash family, Dick and Diane Brash.
Yeah.
You know, a few of the guys actually went out and became stars. You know, Ricky Corona, Anne-Marie Pike, Dugan, Scott Cray, George Branham, and, of course, Randy Peterson. You know, we all grew up around the same time, you know, the late 70s, early 80s in Southern California.
Yeah, that was some pretty fast company. But I mentioned also that you joined the PBA in 1985. So just through some name recognition, can you tell us who some of your peers were back then when you joined the PBA and you bowled in the regionals?
Well, it's funny. I had to think about that one because it's over 30 years ago and we ain't getting younger. I traveled with a guy by the name of Jack Frost. And I'm sure you remember Jack pretty well. I mean, he was quite a character. So I got to travel with him quite a bit, a little bit with Joe Merrill. And at that time, we were getting run over by the infamous Ross Packard. It was kind of the lefty era. We had, you know, Dennis Horan, Eric Forkel, Rusty Griner. Jim Tilton was quite a force at that time. Larry Gray, of course, Ricky Corona. You know, those are the ones that I can think of. You know, I roomed with Joe Barquette for a little while.
Yeah.
But that's going back a few years.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys talk about there was a lot of good lefties on the regional program back then. But, you know, if you think about it, all the good righties, or the real good righties, were on the tour. You know, Walter Ray and Randy Peterson, Frank Ellenberg.
Mark Baker.
Yeah, we can name 20 or 30 of them. But
yeah.
A lot of guys just want to think about the lefties because, let's face it, everybody hates lefties. In fact, I even hate lefties. My ex-wife was a lefty.
You know, really quick, the funniest story, your very good close friend John Force told me one time. He started naming all these guys off that were in charge of like R&D for bowling ball companies and had something to do with USBC. And he goes, you know what they all got in common? And I go, no, what? And he goes, they're all left-handed. He goes, that's how screwed up that our industry is. And I just started laughing. I love Force. He had some good ones.
Yeah, there was a time there when, you know, all the top ball reps were lefties. You know, Ray Edwards and Mo Pinnell and
Hank Boomershine, Cardinal.
Yeah.
Hicklin. and then there was somebody at USBC that he mentioned that was doing the testing. I don't know if it was Strummel or there was somebody else that he'd mentioned, and I don't remember who it was, but yeah, I'll tell you, the first time I only made one match play on tour, and my very first match on tour, I bowled against John. We were 23rd and 24th.
I'll be darned. Wow. That's a small world. And
yeah,
we still miss him, but you know, Pards, I want to talk a little bit about Facebook because that's a very popular media right now. And I see that you're on there from time to time, and so am I. It's very addictive, but I need you to tell me, because I respect your opinions. What do you like and dislike about Facebook?
How long do we have for this one? it just, you know, like you said, Facebook and social media have kind of, you know, that's the thing that consumes a lot of people's time right now. It seems like in regards to bowling, that it's kind of two-sided. You know, there is the one side now that it's made a lot of new bowling stars, a lot of new social media stars. I remember growing up, Andy Warhol always said that we were merely living out our 15 minutes of fame. And I think on social media, it's more like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely pushed. But, you know, the part that I really kind of, I guess, disliked from what you asked me was, you know, there's too many factions that truly wish to tear down the game today and show how bad it is. And, you know, I mean, I know from the business side of it that there's 60 to 70 million that partake annually. So how can it be broken?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
the league structure,
you know,
the league structure's down, but the participation's still there.
Yeah. I mean, everybody always, you know, they want to go back to the 70s and the 80s and, you know, and name anything that's static for 30 to 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, nothing, nothing. So, you know, I don't like it when they say that the sport is broken, because to me it's a disservice to the guys that are still competing professionally and internationally, and you know, that's just kind of a disservice to their accomplishments and their abilities. You know, I'll tell you a quick little story, a quick little anecdote. I do lessons down in Southern Cal once a month at a good friend of mine's pro shop, Roger Kosak. And, you know, this is something you won't see on Facebook, is there was a grandmother with her two grandsons bowling next to us. And they had to be 5 years old, 4, 5, 6 years old. And the one grandson gets his first strike ever. And Phantom, you got this little boy's laughter and scream was just amazingly infectious. It's, you know, it's one of those situations where we all sit back and go, that's why we love being in this game, and that's why we love doing what we're doing and trying to help those that we try to help.
Hey, Pards, I'm going to let you rest your voice for a minute or two, because I need to tell our listeners about this month's Storm Bowling Trivia Contest winners, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, well, Phantom fans, we started our July Storm Bowling Trivia Contest last week, so now we're going to announce those winners. And this month, we'll be awarding 4 more very nice prizes. So let's see who those winners are. Our fourth place winner this week is Arnie Sterling. And Arnie's going to win a special prize from the Glover Tournament Committee. In third place is Kate Sheridan. And she's going to win a very special prize from the Phantom. And our runner-up is Jimmy Winslow. He's going to win a collection of souvenirs that I picked up a couple of weeks ago from Bowl Expo. And our grand prize winner this month is John Wolf. And John's going to win an accessory item from Storm. So, John, please contact me as soon as possible so I can put you in touch with our friends at Storm. And congratulations to all this month's winners. I want to thank Storm Bowling, Strike 10 Entertainment, the Glover Tournament Committee, and the Kegel Company for all this month's prizes. Also, to all of you Phantom Fan Club members for participating in this month's contest and for your support of Phantom Radio. Okay, Rico, in the opening, I mentioned that you co-authored a couple of books. Are they still available?
Yes, sir. Yes, they are. They are still both available. You can contact me or go through you to be able to get them. That's not a problem.
All right. Well, how do they get a hold of you? I don't want to be involved in this.
They can find us on Facebook under New Fusion Bowling, or they can email me at ricscbs@yahoo.com.
Okay.
That'd probably be the easiest way.
All right, cool. you know, maybe next week, next month, or whatever, you can send me one of these books, and I'll have a raffle, or not a raffle, but I'll give it away in a contest. So
perfect.
After the show, I'll give you my address. You can send me a book, and we'll give it away to somebody, somebody that really wants it. So that'll be cool, Parts, because I'm interested in seeing it. I also mentioned before we run out of time that you currently work for Steve Cook's Bowling Supply. If you can, briefly tell us what you do with Steve and his company.
I cover the West Coast for Steve as his accounts manager, but it's more about helping our customers, improving their businesses, and making them profitable. Honestly, very similar to what I did while with Brunswick as the Northwest Product Specialist. Steve is a huge proponent of customer service and taking care of our customers. We like to look at them as partners with us instead of looking at them as a customer. We have a phenomenal staff that runs our offices in Sacramento, Riverside, and now St. Louis with Steve purchasing Grand Prix Bowling Supply. So, you know, it's you know, anybody that's met Steve or knows Steve knows how he is. He's a very caring individual. And he basically sends that down into us as we deal with our customer base. So I'm fortunate that I get to travel. I get to see a lot of our customers, try to help them however we can with any part of their business. Whether it's doing clinics, doing some seminars, giving them technical advice, or the best part, getting them to take them to play golf.
I played with him one time. He hits it a mile. I couldn't take it, man. I had to hit the ball two or three times before I caught up with him. He's a monster.
His knees have caught up to him. So he's unfortunately not playing a whole lot of golf. He's kind of left that up to me. But yeah, you know, I mean, if you ever watched him bowl, you saw how low he got at the foul line, and that's now it's kind of caught up to him as he's gotten older.
Yeah, he was one heck of an athlete, man. And a good guy, and he's bitten off a whole lot out there. And I know he's working hard, and he's taken over this industry. And having a guy like you with all the good service you can provide, man, best of luck to all you guys over there.
Well, we appreciate that, Lenny. I mean, Phantom. Sorry, Phantom.
That's okay, Rico. I mean, Rick.
His mindset's always just been to be able to service the West Coast and kind of take over the West Coast because he's out here and that's where he wants to be. And we're fortunate with the type of customers that we have and the loyalty that they show Steve and the rest of us.
Yeah, he's a great family man too. So we wish you guys all the best of luck. And like I said earlier, I'm going to have you back on here more often. You can offer a lot to our listeners. And Pards, the old clock on the wall tells me we're out of time. And I can't believe how quickly the time flies in this show, and it's probably why they say it's the fastest show in all of sports, but once again, I want you to know that I really appreciate you being on with us and giving our listeners all the information that you did, and I really enjoyed talking with you, so thanks again for taking the time to be here with us, and you keep up the good work, and hopefully I'll see you again soon, somewhere down the road.
Of course. Thanks, Phantom. With this being my second visit on your show, and it's the first time was quite an honor, and this time it's no different, you know, humbling to say the least. It's amazing the many avenues I've traveled. Our paths have always seemed to cross, which is what's great about this game. I enjoy being involved in anything you do, as you've helped me quite a bit over the years. The game and myself are a better place because of you, and I can never thank you enough for that. Truly look forward to any time spent with you, and we definitely got to get out and play some golf.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, Pards, and you arrange it, and I'll try to find a way out there as long as I can use a cart because I'm getting old. I am so I'm so old that I got some dirt. They named a patch of dirt after me.
Cut you in half and count the rings.
Well, Phantom fans, that's going to wrap up the show for this week, and hope that y'all enjoyed it. You enjoyed hearing from my good buddy Rico, Rick Hamlin, and we look forward to talking to all of you again next week. We'll have yet another interesting guest to talk to. In closing, we sincerely want to thank our sponsors, Elitebowling.com, Storm Bowling Products, Stars and Strikes, America's Bowling News Magazine, Brad Edelman, his continued support, and our good friend, Dave Kowalski, as we appreciate all that you do to keep us coming back to you each and every week. Hey, Rick, before we close, how do they get a hold of you again to get your books?
You can email me at Rick, R-I-C-S-C-B-S, at yahoo.com, or look for me on Facebook or New Fusion Bowling, which is also on Facebook.
Awesome. All right, Bart. Thanks. So for Phantom Radio,
thank you, Phantom.
This is the Phantom.